It's time to befriend the devil. Hello, my name is Will, and this is Exploding Helicopter, the podcast patched together with Molten Gold. Now, Shah Rukh Khan has been one of the stars of Bollywood for 30 years. After making his name playing villains, he switched gears and established himself as a box office star in a string of romantic comedies. However, after a run of critical and commercial misfires, Shah Rukh took a four-year break from the acting world before relaunching his career in spectacular fashion with the film we're looking at here, Pathaan. To help me review the film, I'm joined by a man looking to revitalise his own career after a three-year absence from the Exploding Helicopter podcast. It's Asim Birni from the Handan podcast. Welcome back to the show, Asim.
Hello, hello. I love that, you know, you're only covering Bollywood movies if I join you on the podcast. I like this.
Well, I did record a review of Doom 2 with my usual co-host. And that episode is my most downloaded episode because it just seems to keep getting, well, it went through a sort of about 12-month period where it was just, you know, hundreds of people each week were downloading it from India. Now, my fear is that sort of it's become a sort of like a cult thing. Like, listen to these two, like, white guys try and make sense of Doom 2. So I'm obviously always grateful for any download, but I do fear what quite why it was proving so popular.
There is nothing brown people enjoy more than white people talking about their content.
Well, this is why I thought, you know, I need to get a professional in if I'm gonna tackle this this area of cinema. I need to get a professional in to heighten the content. Thank goodness.
But I'm also excited. We're talking about a movie that people can actually watch. Last time we spoke about Bazi, and I was thinking about it. Like, why did we even pick that movie? Like I picked it. I remember because I like that movie. But literally, nobody can find that movie. It's not available anywhere. At least this is easy. This is on Prime. Everybody can watch it, and I think it's also quite accessible movie, right? I think the language of the way this movie is made is accessible to a lot of people.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think it's definitely a film that I think, if you know, because it's very much, you know, working within the action genre milieu, and you know, whether you're familiar with the actors or not, like there's you know, enough of the, I guess, the sort of structure of the film is going to make it easy for you to follow what's going on, and you know, and not be sort of, okay, well, you know, hit these points where you're like, okay, why are we going off in this direction here?
Yeah.
But
can I ask you a question before we start?
Yeah.
Actually, or before we get into the movie itself, one of the criticism that I still get about this movie, because this was literally one of my favorite movies of the year, of the last year, and a lot of people are saying, you know, oh, it's just straight Lift or a copy of Mission Impossible. Did you feel that?
I didn't feel that it was a straight lift from Mission Impossible. I think any of those like big action franchises are definitely an influence on this film. I mean, there are moments within this film which feel a bit James Bondy, that feel a bit Mission Impossible, that maybe feel like they've come from, I don't know, you know, maybe Inception or one of the Fast and Furious movies. So, but I think all of those films are influenced to some degree or another by one another. You know, the Bond films famously, you know, reacted to the Bourne films, and you know, there's a sort of feedback loop, I think, as people try to raise the bar, and then also perhaps incorporate exciting ideas or innovative ideas from other franchises. So I would say there's definitely a Mission Impossible flavor to this film, but no more than any other big action movie. I certainly wouldn't describe it as a ripoff.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I've been saying too, but now maybe you've said it, people will finally believe it.
Well, the last time, as you alluded to, the last time you were on, we were talking about Bazi, which was a film starring Aamir Khan, who is one of the three big Khans in Bollywood film industry. So, yeah, I just wondered if you could perhaps sort of remind people what you do over at Handan, because obviously, you know, you have a particular interest in, well, all of them, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's literally the name of our podcast. It's talking about these three Khans. So you have Aamir Khan, the one that we discussed in Baazi, Shah Rukh that we will be discussing today for Pathaan, and there's a third one called Salman Khan, who's my favorite in a way. And these three men, who are not related, although they have the same, you know, surname, which I think is less confusing for people in England or Britain than in people in America. I think they might find that a bit more confusing. But so they're not related. They've basically been dominating the Hindi film industry for the last 30 years. They all have kind of their different niche, their different relationship with the audience. But when they make a movie, people show up. And people just showing up in theaters is already a big thing, you know, be it in Hollywood, be it in Bollywood. We're basically seeing the same struggles with streaming and people just not going to the theater anymore. When these men make a movie, they show up. So when Shah Rukh stopped making movies for 5 years or didn't show up, that was a big thing. Like, basically, Pathaan, to kind of segue to the movie, is what Barbenheimer was for Hollywood. Shah Rukh did that on his own. Basically, he brought the audiences back with this one movie. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what Shah Rukh is. And Shah Rukh is the one that's been... He's always had a more of a... kind of like a metrosexual feminist approach. He's very good in rom-coms, like you were mentioning. He's very good with moms. He's very good with aunties. He's very good with women. You know, he has that romantic quota. Where Salman is more of an action brawny kind of guy. He's like a Arnold and a Sylvester mixed together. And then you have Aamir, who's kind of more the thinking man's Khan. You know, he's more kind of a Dustin Hoffman kind of thing, you know. But I'm naming these names to kind of give you like a linchpin to hang on. But they're so popular. Like if I say Sylvester Stallone, you're thinking Sylvester Stallone now. I'm saying Sylvester Stallone in the 80s, but Salman is still like a almost a 60-year-old man. But he's still drawing those crowds. So it's kind of insane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you touched on something which I wanted to ask you about was, I mean, this, you know, Pathaan was a huge, huge hit. And he then followed it up with Jawan, which I think was an even bigger hit.
Yes,
and,
it was, yeah.
As we mentioned, I mean, he had, you know, been away for a long time. So was the success of this film, was that always a given? Or was there, you know, some uncertainty about how, you know, his kind of comeback was going to be received?
There was a lot of uncertainty. And I think he did three movies. He did another one in December called Donkey, which was also a hit. So he's delivered three hits basically in 1 year, which is insane. And he's basically set records with this movie. It's not just even delivering hits. It's setting box office records internationally and things like that. So it was a massive endeavor. And there was a lot of doubt. He had a lot of legal troubles, and the government has been basically on him since he basically became a big actor. But can I get a bit political? Is that okay?
Go for it.
I mean, there is a magnifying glass on Muslims in general, and the three Khans are Muslim. They're very liberal Muslims, but they are culturally Muslims. All Shah Rukh, Salman and Aamir, every time they show any sort of overt Muslimness, they get punished for that. And they've basically had a sight on them by the government, which is a very extreme right-wing conservative government in India, and a very pro-Hindu government, which also has links with the British government, with Rishi Sunak, funnily enough. So it's all one big thing. But so he had that magnifying glass of being a Muslim, which is not easy in India, being the best out of all of them, having being kind of an international ambassador for Indian cinema. So they wanted to keep him in the fold. And then a couple of years ago, his son got into a case where they found some drugs on one of his friends, and they sent him to jail for that, for like a very, very, like, it was remand, it was like 4 months or something like that. But if the biggest man in the country, his son gets jailed with trumped up charges that all of them got pretty much dismissed when it went to the front, you kind of, in front of the judge, you do wonder how big do you need to be as a Muslim to be safeguarded by the state attacking you. So that was one of the things. And the other thing was, he hadn't acted in a movie for 5 years, and the last few movies weren't not working at the box office. They were good movies, but they just didn't connect with the audiences. He wasn't giving them what they needed. And then we also had the pandemic, and kind of streaming came into the fold in those last 4 or 5 years. And I think we all had a lot of question marks, like, will audiences go back to cinema? And although there were hits, there were a lot of South Indian movies that were being very popular. Think of RRR, for example, that did bring audiences back to theaters. But Bollywood as a whole seemed like in a questionable state. And Shah Rukh basically came out with Pathaan and then basically said, like, you know, I am still the king. I can still rule the box office like nobody else can.
Okay, well, I think we've set the stage very nicely. So, yeah, why don't we get stuck into Pathaan? But before we do that, let's listen to a bit of the trailer, and I hope your Hindi is as good as mine.
Outfit X, a private terror group, jo kisi maksad ke liye nahi, bas contract par kaam karte hain.
Ma'am, we have a red flag.
They are planning a massive attack, aur unka target hai India.
एक ऐसा अटैक जो हिंदुस्तान ने कभी सोचा भी नहीं होगा. ये नेगोशिएशन नहीं, अल्टीमेटम है. एंड योर टाइम स्टार्ट्स नाउ.
So Pathaan came out in 2023. As with many Bollywood movies, the plot of this film is a little complicated to explain, so I'm going broad brush here for the sake of brevity. So Shah Rukh Khan plays the titular Pathaan, the top agent in a special unit of India's intelligence service, RAW. He is pitted against the notorious Jim, an ex-RAW agent turned terrorist who has been hired by a rogue Pakistani general to unleash a devastating virus in retaliation for India revoking Kashmir's special autonomous status. It's also worth noting that this film is part of the YRF's spy universe, which includes Salman Khan's three Tiger movies, 2019's War, and now Pathaan. This is directed by Siddharth Anand, who also made War and Fighter, all films which incidentally include exploding helicopters. This stars our man, Shah Rukh. Alongside him is Deepika Padukone, Dimple Kapadia, John Abraham, and it's no secret now, Salman Khan has a cameo appearance here. On IMDb, the film has a 5.9 user rating, and on Letterboxd it has a user rating of 2.9 out of 5, numbers which seem a little bit low to me. But on its release, this film, as we've said, was a huge hit, breaking various box office records. So with all of that out of the way, Asim, what are your thoughts on Pathaan?
So I absolutely loved it when it came out, because it wasn't just the movie, it was an event for us, right? Like, it's hard to explain, but I'm like a mid-40s man. Like, I'm in my mid-40s. I feel tingles when I see Shah Rukh Khan on screen. Like, I'm very heterosexual, but something happens to me when I see Shah Rukh Khan on screen, and it happened massively when I saw him in Pathaan. I was just so happy. We were cheering in the theaters. There were like fireworks and people were dancing. So it was a whole event. And since then, I'd not seen it because I enjoyed it so much in theaters, and we had enough Shah Rukh. We had 2-3 other movies that I actually liked less. So I felt I had my Shah Rukh quota. So I hadn't really seen the movie since then. So I watched it for the podcast we're doing now, and I was like, man, this really still works for me. Even though it's not a perfect movie, I have a lot of issues with it. I have a lot of issues when we discussed it back last year. But overall, I just think it's... we were speaking about Mission Impossible, but almost I feel it's more like the Chinese movie that came out, Wolf Warrior.
I have seen that, yeah.
Where it's very action-driven, but it also has a very strong nationalistic agenda in it. And obviously, I'm Pakistani, so, you know, there's been a lot of anti-Pakistani movies made. Fighter, Siddharth Anand's latest movie that just came out in theaters, I actually decided not to go watch it because the trailer was so anti-Pakistani. I think Pathan also has some elements in it, but it feels like it's more like, you know, two sports teams battling it out with each other instead of somebody hating him one and, you know, trying to embarrass the other country or something like that. So I still love it. It's very much made like in a... It's almost like, because it is the start of the spy universe, which you can kind of say they're trying to make like an Avengers, but with like Indian spies. And this was kind of the first one where we had, you know, the meeting of two of these characters, yeah. Tiger and Shah Rukh. And that was just a massive thing. Like, we just went crazy. Like, Odeon was shaking when we were there. It was insane.
But they had been in films together before, right?
Yes. It's been a while. And they're good friends. So they, I mean, they've had their ups and downs. I mean, you can Google that. Well, they had like flat out fist fights with each other. But they are really good friends. And I almost say that Salman has the best chemistry with Shah Rukh instead of any actress he's been acting against in the last decade, at least. So they really get along. And I think that shows in the little sequence that they have. They have that kind of brotherly quality to each other. And it just works really, really well for me.
Well, I think I'm in a similar boat to yourself. I mean, I really enjoyed watching this film, you know, when it was out in cinemas at the time, and I enjoyed coming back to it for this rewatch. And I think it's just an unashamed people pleaser of a movie. You've got like lots of colourful globe-trotting locations. You've got sexy heroes and villains. Got a bit of cheesy humour, some backstabbing and betrayals, and the good guys win in the end. And, you know, the in-between, you've got big action set pieces as well. And so, I mean, what is there not to enjoy there? And I am not immersed in the world of Bollywood films. I've seen a handful of, you know, Shah Rukh, Salman and, you know, Aamir Khan films, but the star quality exudes out of, and the way in which obviously his character is presented, it's clearly, look, this is a star actor here with, you know, he's bringing his star persona into the film. And I think that sort of, I think even if you're not familiar with the actor, that communicates itself to you, even if you're, yeah, as I say, a sort of a novice in this area of films.
I love the introduction scene of the Pathan character, because a hero entry in Indian cinema is a big thing. It's not just, you know, the main actor coming on screen, but it's basically a dialogue between the movie and the audience and the fandom. And when, you know, Pathan is saying, you know, do you recognize the voice? You thought I was dead. He's not talking to the character in front of me. He's talking to us, you know. And that's when he then, you know, kicks him and stands up, and then the fan blows his hair and the six pack is coming to the shirt. That's where the tingles start, you know. Like, that's like Shah Rukh is back. And it's just a really well done. And then it follows up with a really well done action set piece, which, you know, wouldn't look odd in a Hollywood or in a, you know, a Korean movie. It is on that level. It doesn't feel cheesy, at least not to me. Mm. If you're thinking in a kind of a Fast and Furious kind of way, you know.
Well, you mentioned the abs, and I was, from watching this film, I think you could probably coin a new genre called absploitation, where the fetishization of people's washboard stomachs is really the sort of the kind of the focus of the film.
It's insane, though. Like, it's like so impressive. Like, you know, it's impressive when you look at it and you're like, when did I last go to the gym? Should I do a push-up here? Like, this song is 3 minutes. Should I do a few push-ups in between? You know.
So, you know, normally when reviewing a film like this, I'd be asking you about the action sequences, but, you know, when you were on last time and you spoke about how Indian films are more about emotion rather than action. So I thought I would ask you, yeah, rather than ask you about the action, I thought I'd ask you about how the emotional beats landed for you.
I mean, they work for me. I think there is a sense of a bit of a manipulation that is going on with the audience, like, you know, a bit of nationalism, a bit of romance, a bit of Shah Rukh charm. There's a lot of Shah Rukh charm, and I don't it works for some people, it doesn't work for some people. They also do a lot of they reference back to a lot of his older movies too. So that moment where he's in where he's doing the heist and he's next to the Russian lady called Karen, he says, "I love you, Karen," and that's actually a line from one of his oldest movies where he's talking about Kiran. So that's kind of a link there that they're kind of putting in, but. I mean, it works for me. I think the romance also works with Deepika because obviously Deepika is probably the biggest female star in India at the moment. And even she had not done like a popcorn blockbuster movie in a while. And they just have great chemistry together, you know. So even if he's just changing her bandage or they're having a drink on a terrace, it kind of really works because these two get along and they have a sense of comfort with each other.
Yeah, and I was reminded, because obviously it's not the first film that that Shah Rukh and Deepika have done a big vault heist, because I was watching this, and because I needed to look up Happy New Year. I need to go back to that film and see, is that, because I was like, is this the exact same vault that they are trying to get into that was in that film? Like, I was thinking in my memory that they almost look identical, but it might be time playing a trick on me there.
I think this one has slightly less elaborate dance sequences to, you know, perform with a heist, you know. So.
Well, let's talk about the big cameo that is in this film in the form of Salman Khan, who turns up here, crossing over from his Tiger films. Now, I'm not plugged into the world of Bollywood like yourself, so I actually came into this film without any inclination that he was going to be in this film and reprising his character here. So I absolutely ate up that particular sequence. So yeah, I wondered what your experience of his appearance in this film was.
So there were rumors for a long time that this was going to happen. But you need to compare this to the end of Iron Man when Samuel L. Jackson walks in. That's what you should compare this with, right? Like, as somebody that's been a Marvel fan for like years and years and years and has these ideas of, imagine if you could have this superhero and that superhero together, you know? And then Samuel L. Jackson just comes in and says, you know, we're going to start like the Avengers initiative. And you're like, what the hell is going on, you know? That's the level. And what I also need to explain to you is the idea of an item song. Do you know what an item song is in Indian movie parlance?
I don't, no. So okay. Feel free to educate me.
So Indian movies are still split up in two parts. So a lot of times when you go to the cinema, you will actually have an intermission or an interval. People go to the bathroom, people will go get some snacks, and then they come back for the second half, which doesn't happen in, you know, regular movies, let's call it that. But that also affects the arc of the storytelling, because obviously you have a beginning, middle, and end, but when you have a split in the middle, you need to kind of have, you know, start the movie afresh. And that is kind of difficult. And a way to bring the audience quickly back in is you have a amazing musical number, like the biggest hit song that's on the soundtrack with the prettiest girls and the best dancing and the six packs and the bikinis. And you put that straight after the interval. So people that are going after their snacks or the bathroom, they rush back in and they don't want to miss the song. And even if they miss a little bit of the song, they can still catch up before the movie comes in, right? So it's kind of the big thing to get the audience back in. Pathaan doesn't have that. Here, the item song is Salman and Shah Rukh coming back together on screen after so many years. And that, and the way that the action sequence is built, that's what it's also trying to do. It's trying to bring back all of those positive feelings of these two men together. Like, they're literally shooting a helicopter gun. Both of them have like a huge helicopter gun in their hand. And then Salman puts his down and then puts his arm lovingly on the shoulder of Shah Rukh while he continues shooting. I mean, if that's not the best love story you could ever have, like, I don't know. Like, the man brings painkillers for the other man. He brings a coffee for the other man, you know? So it was insane. But I think the other thing is also the way it's built up is, so Shah Rukh is getting beat up by these Russian goons. And then Salman comes in. But first of all, we hear the theme song of Tiger. And then we see his scarf, his keffiyeh, kind of come through the hole that he's punched through the train, I guess. And then we see Salman come in. And then he looks at the audience, like, it's me, I'm here, you were waiting for me. And then he starts kicking ass, you know? So it's very, very well constructed. I absolutely love it, man. It blew me away still.
Yes, it's a really great bro moment in the film. And I was thinking, we've spoken about, you know, some of the other big American action stars like Arnie or Sylvester Stallone. And they've worked together in movies together, most notably, say, The Expendables. But whilst I enjoy those films, you don't have the exciting sort of build-up moment to, okay, right, we are now going to put these two, like, action sort of legends together into the same film. And I feel they missed a trick there a bit.
And they also passed their peak of popularity, right? So, yeah. I mean, if Rambo and Commando had teamed up back in the 80s, that's what Pathan is doing, basically, right? Like, it's putting these two stars that, you know, and they're building a universe around it. Like, even today, they announced they're adding an extra movie to the spy universe. It just literally, the news dropped an hour ago. So they are really expanding and making it bigger. So it's just something that we hadn't seen. Like, they have worked together in like a movie called Karan Arjun, which was a reincarnation action revenge drama, which was amazing. And but they were much, much younger. They were really at the start of their careers. But that movie was a massive, massive hit. And people still call them Karan Arjun, you know, that like the name of the characters. So, but yeah, it just works so well. There's a sequence where Salman holds Shah Rukh's hands, he throws him over, and Shah Rukh does like a spin kick. And I was like, man, this is basically when Thor hits Iron Man's hammer and then it bounces back to the other person. You know what I'm talking about? No, I think Iron Man does his ray on Captain America's shield and then it bounces off somewhere else. I think that's what they're trying to do, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And when you mentioned the spy universe, and one thing I wanted to ask you about was, yeah, how you felt that was shaping up. Obviously we've had the first two Tiger movies were made before had the idea of creating a universe, and I think War was also made as a standalone movie, so it reminds me a bit of the DC sort of universe where there's a lot of retrofitting going on in order to sort of bring things together. So it's only really Pathan and Tiger 3 that has really sort of started to put sort of flesh on the bones of that spy universe. So I wondered if, well, I guess firstly, can you bring me up to date with what this new news is that's just dropped, and what you make of how this universe is sort of taking shape in front of us?
Yeah, so, I mean, we recently rewatched the first two Tiger movies for Khandan Podcast, and there is clearly no plan to make a universe when they were making those movies. I think they made War. That was the movie with Hrithik Roshan and Tiger Shroff, which was the first movie that Siddharth Anand had made for this franchise. And even then, I don't think they were thinking of creating a universe. It's really in Pathan that, again, Siddharth Anand came back with Pathan, and that's where the idea started of creating this universe. So they are retroactively fitting in these ideas that the villain Jim was the partner of Kabir in War, Hrithik Roshan's character. They kind of mentioned this, that they were kind of the same, meticulous and cold and calculating and stuff like that. And then obviously when Tiger 3 comes in, that's where they're really forcing in the narrative. It almost becomes like an Iron Man 2 situation where, wait a minute, like, this doesn't even work, like, in terms of the storytelling at all. I had a lot of issues with Tiger 3 because I feel the forcing this universe to be built into this movie hurt the original franchise in a way, because it's a franchise I really love, the Tiger one, and now making it into a spy universe kind of thing is it hurt Tiger 3 in a way, and it wasn't also such a big success as they were hoping to. But yeah, so the next movie should probably be War 2, And then the idea was to have Tiger versus Pathan. But Siddharth Anand just dropped a movie that has been very underwhelming called Fighter and also very Islamophobic. And that is not something that Yash Raj, the studio, really, they don't make Islamophobic movies necessarily. They make very pro-India movies, but they don't make it anti-Pakistani. And I think that might be an issue that they're rethinking, when are we going to do Tiger versus Pathan? And the other thing is also just these men are very, very busy, and these movies cost a lot of money. So putting all of that together, I don't know if they figured that out yet. They haven't figured out timing. Nobody's confirmed the director. The script hasn't been locked in. But obviously the audience wants this universe now. So that's why they've kind of decided maybe, like, let's add another movie. They have not announced what it will be, with who it will be, which characters it will be. A lot of people are hoping that it might be like a Pakistani spy spin-off, where it's Deepika from Pathan and Zoya, Katrina Kaif's character from Tiger. But I think that's just wishful thinking. That's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, that would be good. But yes, I fear that probably... They'll want to get some blokes in there. That's what I fear.
It's like that female Bond story that goes around every few years, or, you know, like, we're going to make an Expendables movie. You know, that was also in the plan.
Well, there were a couple of going sort of from macro to micro here. There were a couple of little things in this movie that I was hoping you could perhaps help me with as a white guy watching these films. I was intrigued by the John Abraham's character, who is the villain here. We should speak about him, but I was intrigued as to why is he called Jim? There's obviously something culturally I'm missing here, and I wondered, is this really, if you're going to think, what is the most evil sounding thing to an Indian ear, and is it basically a British name?
Yeah, that is true. That is what it sounds the most evil to us. They could have called him Boris, which would have been more evil, but I don't know. Or Nigel, you know. I don't know. It's hard to have a cool sounding British name, except if it's Will, obviously. But I honestly think they didn't think about it. They just wanted like a non Indian name, and they just found Jim. Maybe he goes to the gym a lot. Maybe that's the other reason.
Well, I can believe that. So I can believe that.
Yeah. I mean, like, John Abraham is a very capable actor. He was a very popular model back in the day. He's unbelievably fit. By the way, if people do want to check out his filmography, he made a remake of a Korean movie.
Oh, yes. Rocky Handsome.
That was a remake of The Man with No Name?
Yes.
Amazing remake, really, really good. So I think it's even playing on Netflix, so if people want to kind of check out. And he's also produced some really kind of like thoughtful cinema also. So he's not like he's not second fiddle, although he's nowhere near the popularity of Shah Rukh Khan. But you need a foe that you think can almost beat Pathan. And I think the ruthlessness that Jim shows in this movie can kind of, you know, match him in a way in terms of presence. But it was also just very interesting to see, and this rarely happens, that the villain is a disgruntled Indian spy.
Mm.
Usually they'll go with a Pakistani spy or a terrorist, but it was very refreshing that the problem lies within, you know, the betrayal of Raw itself, and that's what happened to, you know, Jim's character, which was very, very fresh and very different.
Well, that goes into sort of something that I wanted to talk to you about, was that this film, I feel it's making, you know, I was sort of very interested in how it deals with the political landscape in India at the moment, where, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, you've had for the last decade, you've had this very nationalistic Hindu government that's become increasingly authoritarian, that has empowered discrimination of Muslims and other minorities in the country. And Shah Rukh has, you know, alongside some other sort of big celebrities, has spoken up about this, calling for tolerance, and he's earned the kind of government's ire for that. And what is essentially what can look, you know, like a sort of breezy, mindless action thriller there's actually sort of some very sort of deliberate political choices that are going on here. And it seemed to me that it's like Shah Rukh's walking a bit of a tightrope here in terms of not laying himself open for more sort of, you know, government sort of criticism, but also sort of discreetly putting out, making a few particular points. Is that fair reading?
Yes, it is. I think it's in a way, like, I mean, I'm very open. I'm very liberal about these things, you know, so I speak openly about it. It's in a way, it's like the Brexit voter, right? Even if they are in power, they've won. You cannot make them happy. And it's the same thing with like these right wing Indian government people is like, so for example, this movie, there's a song in it called Besharam Rang which is Deepika's entry song. They're having a sing and dance at the beach. I'm sure you enjoyed the song. Well, you have not seen the original version of this song, actually, that was supposed to come out in this movie. And I will explain this to you because it's so bonkers that you would not even have thought about this. So Shah Rukh is a Muslim, right? And in this movie, he's coded Muslim without ever saying that he's a Muslim. So he's got a little armband that he's wearing that he got from his Pathan family in Afghanistan. So what religion do the people that are Pathans in Afghanistan have? Apparently, they have no religion because it's not mentioned in the movie, right? So they adopt him and he wears this taviz, so this bracelet, which is a Muslim coded religious symbol, especially in India. And he's a Muslim. So Deepika in this song was wearing a orange bikini. I'm sure you noticed the orange bikini. Did you?
I did, but only because I'd read about the bikini scandal. So.
You read about the bikini? Yeah. Did it make sense to you, the bikini scandal?
Only because it was explained to me. So it's all to do with the colors signifying sort of particular religions.
Exactly. So she's wearing. She's wearing an orange bikini and she's being, you know, dry humped by a Muslim man on screen. So the people were not happy because obviously this means that, you know, Muslims are dry humping Indian women, right? And we cannot have that, right? So they had to cut the song. So they had to re-edit the song. So there's shots in there that are completely different from the original version that came on. And that's now the final version of this song. Because, again, they had to walk that fine line between appeasing the people, appeasing the audience, appeasing, you know, the government. And it's a very tough line that Shah Rukh has to walk. And for people that understand that coding, it's very clear what's going on. But I think for a lot of people that are maybe on the other side, they're fine with it, you know?
Okay, I think we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to be looking at the exploding helicopter action.
America's maximum assault force is back in action. Chuck Norris, Delta Force 2. This time, it's for more than country.
Let me go. Okay.
It's personal. Chuck Norris.
Always the heart.
Delta Force 2, rated R.
Starts Friday at theaters everywhere.
We're back, and now we're looking at the exploding helicopter action. This occurs during the sequence where Salman engineers the rescue of Shah Rukh from the prison train. After an extended battle with the train's guards and prisoners, our heroes find themselves atop the train, armed only with a couple of miniguns, just as an attack helicopter turns up. The two brothers-in-arms open fire on the copter, which is damaged by the gunfire, causing the wounded Whirlybird to veer off and crash into a bridge where it explodes. Asim, what did you make of the exploding helicopter action?
Can I just say this movie had a lot of fake outs for your audience? Like, there's a lot of helicopters in this movie.
There
right?
Certainly
like,
I was are, like, yeah.
I was kept thinking, which one is going to explode again? Like, I kind of like, I forgot a little bit. But then it came back the moment they grabbed the guns. I mean, it is one of those sequences we have seen a lot of times. Like, recently in the Mission Impossible movie, we've seen it. And we've also seen it in one of the Fast and Furious movies, right? And in even Uncharted, the video game, you know, where the train kind of is falling off a bridge and then they have to run away from it and catch it right at the right moment. It's part of an amazing sequence that is literally going to be in the history of Indian cinema. So you cannot like criticize it. It does have a lot of iffy CGI at that moment, too. Mm. Especially when I was watching, they use a lot of that face swap technology because these men are almost in their mid-60s now. In their mid-50s. And they cannot do the action that's required for them. So it uses a lot of this face swap technology, especially when they're running. Because Salman is not running, man. He's like, okay, I'll come in your movie. I ain't running, man. That's not happening. The man has not done cardio since the 90s, you know? So
You're watching him walk and you're like, okay, is this a slow-mo hero walk or is this just the speed he walks now?
Exactly. That's just like when you have so much muscles, it's just very hard. I know. I have trouble walking through doors myself.
Well, I loved this particular sequence. As you say, yeah, it comes... Yeah, it's part of a fabulous scene where you get these two actors, teaming up to take on a whole trainload of disposable villains. I enjoyed the kind of get some nice slow mo employed here, and there's certainly no shortage of slow motion in any kind of Bollywood action film. But nice slow mo here as the helicopter kind of peels off and crashes into the bridge, which obviously then sets up the fact that the exploding helicopter sets up the next moment of this sequence, where, as you said, the two of them are sort of running across the top of this train as it's falling down into some great chasm in order to try and stay alive. So it provides an important plot point as well. And yeah, I mean, what's not to love, I guess, about sort of two ripped middle-aged dudes with miniguns, you know, blowing up a helicopter.
Yeah, it's extreme violence with a subtle romance, you know, like what more do you want? It has layers, you know, not many exploding helicopter scenes have layers. This has layers, you know. Like,
Well, I wanted to test your knowledge about about Salman and Shah Rukh and also about exploding helicopters. So who out of the two has appeared in more films with an exploding helicopter?
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a good one. You would think it would be Salman, but I'm going to go with Shah Rukh because I feel you're throwing me a curveball here.
Oh, you've overthought this. You've overthought this. So it's actually Salman. So
is it? How many?
He's been in 5 that I'm aware of. There might be some more lurking in his filmography that I'm unaware of at the moment. But he's been in 5, and Shah Rukh is close behind on 4 at the moment. Oh, okay. So he's possibly going to be catching up if he continues turning up in these. Spy Universe films.
It's damn post-2000 romance era that pulled down these numbers, you know. They were both making too many romantic movies, and if they just continued making action movies, this would have been 15 at least for both of them, you know.
But Salman's been in a couple in his Tiger movies, Pathaan. There was one in Kick, and there was one in Bodyguard as well, which that's not a very well regarded Salman movie.
But does a drone count as a helicopter, though? Was that not a drone?
It was it's like a remote controlled helicopter. So
right, it is a helicopter.
I take a fairly liberal policy on them. So if it looks like a helicopter and flies like a helicopter, then I will include it. There are some aviation purists out there who are sometimes appalled at some of the craft that. That get blown up in films that I include on my list. But I choose, as I say, if it looks and flies like one, then I'm going to include it. So
nice. Yeah, I remember the drone sequence really well of that movie because it was so bad.
Okay, I think that just about wraps things up for this show. Asim, thank you for making what I think we can all agree is now a triumphant return to the Exploding Helicopter podcast. But before you go, would you like to take a moment to tell people where they can catch up with your own work?
Yes. You can follow us on Khandan Podcast, basically. We drop an episode every week and we talk about Bollywood. I think in a very... humorous manner. So if you enjoyed me here and you want more of this, come to Khandan Podcast.
Definitely, I would, yeah, heartily recommend your show to anyone listening. I would also heartily recommend the Exploding Helicopter website, where you can get more information and read reviews of films where helicopters explode. We'll be back soon, but until then, what should people do, Asim?
Keep watching the skies for those exploding helicopters.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.